Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information, check out our website at freechapel.org.
It's exciting. Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 6. It says, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, this story just real quickly, this is Saul, and Saul is leading men of Israel in a battle against the Philistines. And it says here, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed. Then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. And he offered that burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me in Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not come. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, or heart, as you say here. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. Let's just pray real quickly. Lord, we just thank you for your word. I thank you that it says that your word, when it goes out, it will do what it set out to do. And Lord God, we just pray. I pray over this morning. Lord God, we just commit this service to you. God, do what it is that you want to do. Lord God, we trust you and we love you in your name. Amen. These few verses, particularly those that we just spoke about then, in where it's speaking of, we know that it's speaking of David in verse 14 when he says, I have found for you, I've sought and found a man after my own heart. This is God speaking. And what has happened in this story is you have Saul, and Saul has gone out. The chapter before, Saul is given specific instruction to wait on Samuel. In fact, what happens is it says, wait for 7 days and then Samuel will come. And what happens is they go out into the battle, and the battle gets crazy. It gets hectic. The people start, they're freaking out. And Saul sort of looks at the situation in front of him, looks at the people, his own people freaking out. And Saul basically makes a call in the moment. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever felt like God spoke something to you earlier? Felt like you had a word from God, but then when the situation freaked out, you made a call that was contrary to what God had said. This is what happens in this story. He makes a call and he says, look, don't worry about it. Saul, basically in his mind, he concedes the fact that Saul is not coming. What God has said that's going to happen is not going to happen, because the seventh day is here, and Samuel rather is not coming. The seventh day is here and Samuel is not here. And so what Saul does is Saul takes it into his own hands, and Saul does something that he shouldn't actually have done. He burns this offering. What he does is he burns the offering, but the motivation for burning the offering is motivated out of fear. He takes the offering and he's freaking out. He's like, look, we just have to do it. Let's just quickly do this now. And he burns this offering. And the moment he brings the offering, what he does is he Samuel arrives. And Samuel walks in, and it says that Saul sees Samuel coming and Saul runs out to greet him. You know what I mean? It almost sounds like he's like a kid that knows he's done something wrong. You know, remember when you're a kid and you've done something wrong and then mom and dad get home? He runs out to greet him, and so Samuel's like, hey, what's up? We didn't expect you to be here. And what Samuel says, Samuel looks and he's like, so what have you done? And in this moment, this is so incredible, because in this moment, what has just happened so shakes God, that God, it's almost like the straw that breaks the camel's back. And God says to him through Samuel, right, that's it, you're done. Because now I've found someone who's after my heart, a man after my own heart. And he's speaking of David. And what I want to talk about in this next series, and we're going to hit it for the next 2 weeks, but I'm talking about the heart of God, what matters most. Because I think so often we can get so caught up in Christian church and so caught up in our Christian life and get so distracted doing all of these different things, thinking we're doing what God wants us to do, but all of the time we're actually chasing after things and trying to accomplish things that at the end of the day, I honestly think God doesn't care. And what I want to really look at and study across these next, really the next four sermons, is what matters most to the heart of God. Have you ever thought of that? What a great thing to be called. David is called someone who's after God's own heart. After God's own heart. Have you ever thought to yourself, well, that would be great. I wonder what God's heart really is. What really is the heart of God? What is it that stirs God? What is it that means the most to him? What is it that, what's God's love language, so to speak? What are the things that really just get him going? What are the things that make him smile the most? And how much is the way in which we live line up with God's heart? Are we Christians that are chasing after the heart of God? Or are we Christians that are just chasing after what we think we're meant to be doing? Are we just got caught up in doing the motions, that perhaps in going through the motions, we've somehow not with a wrong mindset or a wrong attitude or wrong motives, but perhaps somehow just got distracted and got away from actually what truly is the heart of God? It's in this story, it's powerful to look at this, because what I want to look at, if David, at the end of this story, David is called a man after God's own heart, then that would suggest to us that if David is after the heart of God, it would suggest off the back of this story that Saul was someone who was not after the heart of God. It would suggest to us that Saul is someone who was away from the heart of God. If off the back of this, whatever's, as we looked in this story, something happened in this story that somehow just hit God in such a way that God made a decision off the back of this story and off the back of these actions that Saul did. God made a decision, right, I'm done with you, because I've found someone who's after my heart. As if to say, your actions just now have demonstrated to me that you're actually not after my heart. Your actions have demonstrated to me that you're not after my heart. And I want to break down this series and identify what I believe matters the most to God. And I want to show you in this story, if you were to look at this story and compare it, if you were to mirror this with the life of David, if we know that he refers to David as being someone after God's heart, Saul as being someone away from God's heart, let's compare the two and look at this situation right here. You have Saul who's up against a battle. Saul is up against the Philistines. He's freaking out. The people that he's leading are freaking out. Everybody has scattered. And what happens is Saul is right in the middle of this battle and he freaks out and he doesn't know what to do. And instead of actually leaning and trusting on the word that God gave him the chapter before to wait for Samuel, Saul says, no, I can't do that. Samuel's obviously not going to show up. Saul just sort of takes things into his own hands. How different is that picture to the picture we know of David and Goliath? Isn't that the total opposite to what we saw David walk in the story of David and Goliath? Was not David up against a battle? Was not people around him saying, you should do it this way, you should do it that way? But David in this moment, he had enough faith in God and enough trust in God to say, despite what is going on around me, despite the Goliath in front of me, despite what everyone else around me is telling me to do, I got a word from God and this is what God has told me to do and I'm sticking with it. There was this faith in David. There was this courage in David. More so, it was this complete and utter, almost like a crazy dependence upon God. It was crazy that David had this radical faith, that he understood, even though he was just a kid, even though he was just a boy, David had this revelation, you know what, that God cared for him. This is the first thing that I want to hit on in this sermon, and then tonight I'm going to hit on a different one. The first thing that you have to understand, and this is so simple, but I believe so key, is the first thing that matters to God is you. You have to understand that you actually matter to God. So many Christians, I talk to so many Christians, and we can get so caught up and so discouraged by things going on in our life and things that we're battling and things that we're dealing with. Sometimes the most encouraging word that we need to hear when we're facing things is simply the fact that whatever we face matters to God. You actually matter to God. You are the heartbeat of God. The Bible says that your name was tattooed upon his palm. You have to understand that the Bible actually talks about, do you know that God thinks about you? For I know, it says here, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Do you know, get this, do you know even the little things that you go through, I'm not talking about, you know, when we talk sometimes about the big challenges in our families, the big challenges in our workplace and the big battles that we fight. Do you know that God cares about the little things as well? Do you know that God cares about when you know, Caressa and my wife and I, we're looking for a place, a house at the moment. And you know, we go online, you know, you go online, you're looking, you know, going through the rental thing, you know, and I'm sort of like, as long as I'm close to the beach, I will live in a box. It doesn't matter to me. Close to the beach, you know what I mean? As long as I've got my wife, surfboard, Bible near the beach, I'm a happy man. I live a simple life. But I mean, my wife is a little bit different. When I say a little bit, I mean a lot different. We get online, listen, we will get online. The other day, it was so funny because I was sitting there. I learned a lesson. My dad was there and he was sitting there and he was just on his phone and Caressa had a big day and she was a bit, you know, she'd been flicking through all of these different rentals. If you've ever done this before, you know, she's discouraged. She's, you know, and I sort of come in and I sort of sit down. I'm like, but what are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm going through, you know, trying to find a place. I said, well, what's that one? Click on that one. She clicks on it. I said, babe, look at that place. That looks amazing. Look at that kitchen. It's got a sink. I mean, look at, it's got floors, roof. If it rains, we're not going to get wet. Look at the view. It's close to the beach. My dad is just looking up at his phone like this, just looking at me like, as if to say, son, shut up. She's going through and she's looking. She said, no, I want, you know, I'm learning. It's a year and a bit into marriage. They're so particular with different things. I mean, the color of the bench tops. Not even the whole bench, like the bench tops, the colours of the bench tops makes a difference. Wave at me, ladies, if you know what you're talking about. Gee. The countertop. Now they're clapping. The bit you chop on. The top bit. A apparently I learnt this week that that matters what colour that is. Whether it's carpet or floorboards. I'm walking on it. Does it matter? We're talking, and I'm like, babe, listen, baby, you're going to have to just, let's just break it down to the bare minimum. Like, you know, let's just have a little criteria. And she said, no, I'm believing that God's going to give me exactly what I want. When she puts God in a sentence, you just got to stop. Like, all right, well. Because if I say anything against that, then I'm not in faith. You know what I mean? So you're just like, okay, well. But it began to speak to me because I thought, you know what? And I walked away thinking, that's probably the heart of God. That's the heart. You understand that we're His children and it's the heart of God that He wants to actually bless you. Yes, in the big things. He wants to move you through those big challenges and guide you through those family struggles and work situations. But you know what? The heart of God is God also cares about the little things. He cares about the little things. Look at this. There's a great story in Scripture. In Mark 4 verse 35, they're going to throw it up on the screen. It's the story when they calm the storm. Is it going to come up on the screen? We've got it on the screen. Look at this. And I love this version. It says, that day when evening came, He said to His disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along. Just as He was in the boat, there was also other boats with Him. A furious squall or a storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. You can stop there. Look at this story. Does this story have anything to do with the healing? Does this story have anything to do with somebody's breakthrough? Does it have anything to do with any other miracle? Look at this situation. Jesus is absolutely not concerned with this situation whatsoever. The dude's on a cushion. In the bottom of the, just chill. He's just chilling, just like happy, unaffected, not worried, not concerned. Until the disciples express to Him that what they're going through concerns them. Do you understand what I'm saying? The moment Jesus saw that whatever that was happening up there on the deck, up there on the boat, whatever was going on up there, the moment Jesus realized that what was happening up there was a concern to the disciples, He took it on Himself and said, okay, let me fix this. Do you understand? Jesus cares about the little things. You matter to God. What you face matters to God. We have to get this in our hearts and in our spirit and understand this. If Saul had understood what he was facing in this situation, if he had understood and got a revelation that, hang on a sec, this enemy that I'm facing, if God cares about me, then God is going to deal with it. Do you know I've met too many Christians that are taking on worries and concerns that God wants to take on for you? You need to understand that you are on God's heart. God cares about you. He's concerned about the little things in your life. We know He's concerned about the big things, but God cares about the little things. He wants to bless you because what it does is every time God does a little miracle, sometimes I feel like the little miracles, the little things that God does, they're the ones that sort of get you and you just think, God, you're so good to me that you would care enough to just do this. You know, I pray and say, God, I thank you that you care enough that you're going to get Caressa and I a house where she loves the bench tops. God, I thank you that you are a God that is all-knowing, that you are all-powerful, that you created the world in 6 days, rested in one, but you still care about the little things going on in my life, that you still care about the things that I face each and every day. But we don't get it. That's why we don't ask Him. We don't ask Him for the little things. I've talked about it before, but you got a chance to see my mum preach on Sunday. How many know I grew up in a home where I had a mum that prayed for everything. Do you know, wave at me if you have a mum that's like that. She prays for so many things, it just gets frustrating. You think, Mum, do you do nothing you're on your own? Do you know what I mean? She's like, it was like you would have a mum that would pray the tiniest, simplest things. Mums that pray for parking spaces in the parking lot. Do you know what I'm talking about? Everybody else can patiently wait, but not my mother. Everyone else can just drive around in their own strength and just look, not my mother. You know, she's driving around, shikabaraba, thank you, Lord, for a parking spot. Lord, I thank you that this next corner, around this next corner, there's going to be a parking spot. You know, I'm like sitting there thinking, oh, Mum, just do it like everybody else. It's a parking lot. But you know what she said? She says, I know that these things matter to God because they matter to me. Anything that matters to you, guess what? It matters to God because God loves you. You matter to God. Look at this other story. I'm going to use this story because this jumped out at me in John 2, verse 1. This is the story of Jesus, the first miracle Jesus did, which was turning the water into wine. Look at this story. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Only Jesus can talk to his mother like that. My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there six water pots of stone according to the manner of purification by the Jews containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have drunk, than the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. Look at this story. What is this story about? Now understand there's cultural things in here, and you know, I'm not going to get into wine and alcohol. You can email Pastor Javon about that during the week. He'd be glad to talk to you. But what does this represent? I got you. Because you know they're going to. What does this story represent? In this story, you have this. Basically, this is a very embarrassing situation for the host of this wedding. It's very embarrassing for him. There's a lot of shame attached to this because they've got the guests and they say whether there were more guests than he expected, or, you know, maybe he had some big drinkers there. I don't know. You know, his guests are turning up on him. But that they all come and he gets caught in this situation where he doesn't have enough. And I love it because Mary goes to Jesus and says to Jesus, it tells the situation to Jesus, and Jesus says to her, my hour has one. He says, what has this got to do with me? This is not my deal. This doesn't affect me. First thing. And then the second thing he says to them, he says, it's not my time. But what Mary does is Mary, in a sense, in this story, if you look at it, she totally, really actually disregards what he had just said. It's almost like based on her response, you would think that Jesus said to her, okay, let's do this. Do you know what I mean? It's like he says it to her, and it's like it just went in one ear and out the other to her. She's like, okay, it's not your time, not your concern. Great. Okay, do whatever he tells you to do. Do you know what I mean? That's really is what has just happened here. In this story, it's almost like what Mary does is Mary has this understanding of who he is. And she has this understanding. What she's doing is she's appealing to his heart. And she knows that if this is a concern, if this is an embarrassing, difficult situation for these people, she knows the heart of God and she says, I know my son, I know his heart, and I know this situation matters to him. Even though it's got nothing to do with him, even though it's not even his time, she's appealing to the heart of God. And God responds to it. He bypasses what is not his concern. He bypasses the fact that the timing's off. Why? Because he has such a heart for this situation. He says, you know what? I want to bless them. What it speaks of, it speaks of in this story, the different interpretations speak of the water, speak of a lack. The water, it speaks of not, it speaks of the bare minimum, so to speak. And what Jesus does in this situation in doing this is he's sending us this message that I don't want you to just have the bare minimum. I don't want you to just scrape by. I want it to be great. I want you to be blessed. Understand, this is the heart of our God. This story, there is nothing else in this story that Jesus gets out of it. There's no, it's simply a way of blessing the people in this situation. It's simply a way of demonstrating what is truly the heart of God. It's a basic, I mean, they were out of drink. It's not a crazy, difficult, hectic, you know, messed up situation. They were just simply in need. This demonstrates to us what the heart of God really is. That you are on God's heart. You matter to God. It's so important that we understand this. Romans 8 verse 31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Sometimes, I mean, I know it's so basic, I know it's so simple, but I know for my life, sometimes I've just got to stop and say, hang on a second, Ben. Remember, God is for me. God is for me. God is not, you know, God's, his plans, that he has plans for you. Plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Do you understand? He has plans for you and he is also for you. He is for you working out what his plans are. He's not a God that constructs this plan and then hides it all and then steps back and says, let me try and see. Let's make him try and work it out. Let's make this real hard. He wants you to work it out. He wants to reveal it to you. He's not up there trying to, you know, make it difficult. Sometimes we have this messed up thinking, well, I've got to do, and God's working. It's almost like God's working against me. God, that's not how God operates. You matter to God. We are sons and daughters. He is our heavenly Father. Matthew 7 verse 9 to 11. Or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, he will give you a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You have a God, you serve a God who wants to give you good things. We know, we talk about all the time during offering, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It's a wrong mindset that the enemy tries to get in our head and get in our thinking to try and limit our understanding or limit our revelation on the things that God has for us. That you matter to God. What you go through matters to God. What bothers you matters him. That's why this story, that's what he's talking about when he says, I have plans, the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Why did Jesus calm the storm? To give them peace. It wasn't, he didn't need peace. He was very happy. He's laying on a cushion down the bottom. He's just chilling. He didn't need peace. It was for them. It was simply for them because he saw that it bothered them. He saw that it affected them. I want to challenge you, church. We've got to get this in our heart and get this in our spirit and understand first and foremost that I matter to God. What I'm going through matters to God. When you understand that you matter to God, then it makes it easier for you to take every difficulty, every challenge, everything you face, you take it to God and say, God, if I matter to you, then therefore this situation I'm facing right now, as small as it is, as minute as it is, God, I know that this matters to you and I give it to you. We have to understand Galatians 3:26, it tells us that we are a child of God. John 15:15 tells us that you're Jesus' friend. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells you that you're a whole new person with a whole new life. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, I'm a place where God's Spirit lives. Ephesians 2:10. I am God's, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that you are incredible work of art. We have to understand how much time, do you understand how much time and effort and energy God put into making you? We think God has this big grand plan, and He does. He's this big grand God, and He is all powerful, all knowing. But do you know that it all started, His plan first started with us. He created you. You matter to God. What's the heart of God? Us. We're the heart of God. Do you know that things that bring you joy, it brings Him joy? Do you understand that? Do you know when you experience something, that's why praise is so powerful. That's why it's so great to thank God. That's what praise is. Thanking Him. That's why it's so great. Even in the little things, we forget so often, don't we? We forget to thank God for the little things. Start thanking God for the parking space. It's a, you know, the little thing. I know it's weird and I know it's silly, but what it really is it's relationship. That's what it is. It's not religion. It's relationship. Because if I had somebody that I was with, if someone was with me and they did something for me, as small as it was, I would thank them. Someone brings you a drink, brings you some food, what do you do? Thank you. But we forget to relate to God like that. We put praise, that's praise, you understand? We put praise in this box of, no, that's singing the songs at the start of a service. That's for Sunday. I want to stir your church, build and grow your relationship with God more and more. Yes, through the Word, yes, through there, but interact with Him. You matter to Him. I wrote this down because it jumped out at me when I was preparing. We need to seek after who He is before we seek after what He wants. Religion seeks after what God wants. Relationship seeks after who He is. What was the difference between David and Saul? David was seeking after, who are you? God, who are you? Not just, what do you want me to do? See, that's what religion is all about doing. What do I have to do? Be at church, tick the box. Got a Bible, I'll read a scripture each day, tick the box. Go through, just do what you have to do. That's religion. But relationship goes deeper than what you do. Relationship goes down to who He is. That's what David demonstrated so great. There was this desire, this in his heart. There was a yearning to know who God is, to know the deeper things of God. Because when you know who He is, then you will naturally do what He wants you to do. But it won't be motivated by ticking a box. It'll be motivated by a love relationship with who He is. You matter to God. You matter to God. We need to sometimes get back to just the grassroots of what Christianity is. It's all about relationship with Him. This is why we go to church on Sunday. Why? Because I love Him. Why do we sing the songs and clap? Because I love Him. Why do we get up and read the Word? Because I love Him. I want to know more about Him. Why do I talk to Him? Because I love Him. I can't go a day without talking to Him. But we get so far away from that sometimes. What's the heart of God? You. You are the heart of God. He loves you so much so that He died for you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. We hope you were blessed.